Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode. This is Angie Winer.
I know you know the story when the disciples asked the Lord how they should pray. I wasn't there, but I can't imagine that they may have sounded something like this. The Lord told them. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Yay! We're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, 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 many names. On this line, we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. Come on, Holy Spirit. And so as we move into the stillness, inviting the presence into this right now moment, recognizing that one presence right now, the Almighty. And in this right now moment, we also become very intentional about the breath. The breath. And in this moment, we realize that there's something powerful that happens when we become very intentional about the breath, because sometimes we forget to breathe. And I just want you to know there's power in the breath, family. And so right now, I want you to take in a deep breath, breathe in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then release the breath, remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart. Sometimes we forget to breathe. So in this right now moment, I just want you to breathe. Be still. Still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe again. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Come, Holy Spirit. Be still and know that I am God. Divine and precious Holy Spirit, come. As I come before you this morning, asking that every word of my mouth come, Holy Spirit, and every meditation of my heart come, Holy Spirit, shall be acceptable in thy sight. Come, Holy Spirit, as I ask you to come and remove all of me right now, God, and let it be all of you, Holy Spirit. As I speak these words in this prayer right now, God, I ask you to give me a forgiven heart, God. A clean heart, so that I can come from my higher mind self, God, that every word I speak will be your words, God, and every thought I think will be your thoughts, God. I ask you to fill my presence with your overflow, God. Divine Mother, Father, God, precious and Holy Spirit, I ask you to come into this call this morning and speak to somebody's heart today, God. I ask you to speak to somebody's mind today, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to somebody this morning, God. Can you to bring forth your presence, God, that you may speak to somebody's heart. I ask you to bring forth a fresh anointing, God, fresh revelation, new wineskins this morning, God. I ask you to allow yourself to be made manifest in the glory of each and every one of us under the sound of my voice, God. I'm asking you to bring forth a blessing this morning, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I just want us to be too turned up on this Thursday, God. Too turned up Thursday, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, God, I'm asking for you to bring forth a fresh anointing, a blessing, God, that it won't be room enough to receive it. On this call right now, God, let us feel your vibration, God. Let us feel your presence as we touch the hem of your garment in our consciousness this morning, God. Oh, come and let there be peace, God, where there's no peace, God. Let there be peace, Holy Spirit, where there's no peace. Father, Mother, God, I ask you to come and bless the hands of those that are on this call. I'm asking for an anointing over our hands, God, that everything we touch, God, come on, Holy Spirit, everything we touch will not only turn to gold, but platinum gold, God. I'm asking you to bless and anoint our feet, that everywhere we tread, our feet shall be upon your holy ground, God. I'm asking you for an anointing this morning, the anointing of all that is you, Holy Spirit, upon us, God, that you will bless us this morning with your favor, God. Oh, that you will pour out your favor and your grace and your mercy, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to send your angels out on assignment this morning, God, that they will go before us today, God, and bring forth an ease in this day. And elegance and grace in our path, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and open up doors that no man can open, God. Somebody came today to hear a word from you today, God. Somebody came because they needed to hear a word today, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and let there be light today, God. Let there be light. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm just grateful right now, God. Thanking you for everything right now. Thanking you for the valley. Thanking you for the mountaintop. Thanking you for all that is, God. As we move forth in this day, God, speak to our heart and let there be light. Pray knowing that not one word shall be returned void. As we give thanks, knowing that you are all there is. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of... I just see what I'm doing. Well, you know I'm on my phone. I don't have my computer. I left my computer at home, y'all. So I'm trying to do everything from this phone. And you know, it can be more than an ocean. But you know what? God still is good. I tell you, no matter what's going on, God is still good. I don't care what valleys. I don't care if we're on the mountaintop. I don't care if we're somewhere in between. Let me tell you, this life is what we make it. And I'm so grateful to be here to shout from the mountaintops, to shout from the valleys, lows, to shout from somewhere in between, to just say no matter what, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise the presence of God in me and all around me. Because, you know, I know nobody can do it like God can. Nobody can do it like God. And I know it don't always seem like God hears our prayer, but I tell you, God hears our prayer. God hears our prayers. So I just want to just for you to take a minute right now and just think about the blessing. I just want you to think about your blessing and how many times when you thought you was out for the count and before you knew it, something great happened.
If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go up. Now I go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh, my heart.
Give me your
whole word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
and speak to my heart. You tuned into the Love Journey with the Love Goddess, your love experience, and we're going to talk about speak to your situations. We're going to start off by listening to a few minute clip of TD Jakes telling us how to speak to those mountains this morning.
How could you have such a great destiny and be in such a horrific situation? I'm talking about Moses. I want you to understand that the predicament that you are in right now does not define your destiny. They don't believe nothing. Let me try y'all over here. The predicament that you are in right now does not define your destiny. They're doing a little bit better. I'm going to try this session over here. The predicament that you are in right now does not define your destiny. You ought to look at every negative situation in your house and say, you're a liar. I don't believe you. I hate to tell you this, you might not want me to be a pastor here anymore, but I talk to things when nobody's looking. I talk to things when I'm backed in a corner. I talk to things that have no ears. I talk to objects that cannot respond. And Michael, one day I walked in my house, the one with the lights off and the gas off, the one that they repossessed the car from. I walked in the house and I looked at the house and I said, house, you a liar. You lied on me. I'm better than this. That me and the house was in a disagreement, and one of us had to be a liar, and I decided it wasn't me. So I told the house which one of us was lying. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You ought to lay a hand on that tumor and call it a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar in the name of Jesus. Whose report do you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. Every voice that said you'll never be nothing, you got to call it out. You're a liar. Every time something whispers in your ear and says, you can't make it through this, you can't take this, you're going to have a nervous breakdown, you're going to lose your mind, you're going to die like your mama did, you're going to get sick like your daddy did, you got to talk back to those voices and say, hey! Touch your neighbor and tell them, I'm calling out liars this morning. Sickness is a liar. Failure is a liar. Depression is a liar. Suicide is a liar. Despair is a liar. Spiritual heaviness, you're a liar. Disease, you're a liar. Can't learn, you're a liar. Can't read, you're a liar. Can't make it, you're a liar. Can't take it, you ought to call out every liar. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Young lady with a very strong spirit in my church, that she was my intercessor. On the surface, that sounds nice. But she said, I'm his intercessor. And if I don't pray for him, he can't preach. Well, I was a young pastor. I didn't have much suave or anything like that. But through a series of events, I disfellowshipped her. And she said, you'll never be able to preach without me. And I said, 25 years later, I'm still standing here declaring the infallible word of God. You didn't make me. You can't break me. You didn't stop me. You can't finish me. Greater is he that is in me than... Oh. But in her absence, she thought she would shut me down. How many people have walked out of your life and thought that their absence would shut you down? Jump up and holler, you're a liar! It sounds like somebody else in here has had some lying voices whispering in your ear, telling you what you can't do and what you can't be and what you can't have. And if you don't do it with me, it can't be done. The devil is a lie. If I would have believed it, if I would have received it, see, believing is the door of entry. If I would believe it, then I would receive it, and it would have brought forth fruit in my life. Sometimes the only kind of abortion that a Christian needs to have is to abort every lying seed that has attached itself to the womb of your spirit, trying to bring forth fruit of damnation in your life. You need to abort every voice that said, you can't do it, you can't have it, you can't be it, you'll never get up, you'll never survive. The devil is a lie. Abort that thing. Push it out.
Wow. You turned into the love journey. That was T.D. Jakes. And it was was called How to Speak to Your Situations. You see, we got to learn how to open up our mouth sometimes and speak over and to our situations, no matter what's going on. We got to speak that thing. The powerful that happens when we get in agreement with God and start to speak life to a situation. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We got to speak life into our own situation right now. Speaking life to those dead situations. Luke 7 and 7 say the word and let my servant be healed. Mark 11 and 22 No, 11 and 23 says, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Isaiah, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will be accomplished what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Let me say that again. This is in Isaiah. So it is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not be returned to me empty, but will be accomplished by what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent out my word. In Genesis, God said, let there be light, and there was light. In Psalms 107, 19 and 20, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. God saved them out of their distress. God sent God's word and healed and delivered them from their destruction. See, each one of these accounts of the power that our words have. Our words have the power to heal, the power to perform a miracle, the power to move mountains, the power to accomplish the will of God, the power to set things into being, and the power to deliver, save, set people free. In Genesis, God spoke a word and formed the world into being. As simple as it sounds, our words have power. And we are either speaking life over ourselves or over our situation, or we speaking death. What are we speaking this morning? What are we speaking out of our mouths this morning? You see, if I want to change my perspective about a situation, I need to first realize what I'm thinking and what I'm speaking. What I speak, what am I speaking? How am I speaking about my situation? How am I speaking about myself? Words like try and broke. Are we using negative words to describe a situation, our current situation? Speak life this morning into those situations in our lives. And I don't care what it is. I'm referring to anything in your life that is not fruitful. Your career, your love life, your purpose, your finances, your friendships, whatever. Stop talking about and saying what you won't have. Saying what you can't do, saying what almost happened to you, and saying what you don't know. In Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We got to put an end to self-destructing words. Are you ready to start speaking life into your life? I can do all things in Christ that strengthen me. I am prepared for this. I am fully equipped. I have more than enough. I am more than enough. I am love. I am valued just the way I am. I have the resources that I need to accomplish everything in my life. God has not forgotten about me. God knows my address. I have not been overlooked. I have purpose. I am here for a reason. 2019 is the year I will have action in everything. I am unstoppable. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We got to speak life. Speak life. Even if you feel like you're in a dead situation, speak life. I always think about Ezekiel when I'm going through something. Can those dry bones live again? Up out of the ashes, we will see an army rise. We call out to the dry bones, come alive. I'm just going to tell you right now, come alive. I know sometimes we're looking out into a deserted valley, looking as far as we can see, and the earth is littered with remains of dry bones are everywhere. There isn't a sign of life anywhere. And as you trudge deep into the valley, the sheer number of bones sometimes can overwhelm us. Heavy and lost, you stop and turn in a slow circle, and everywhere you look, more bones, more signs. There's no life in this place. Lord, why did you bring me here? The bones are extremely dry. And you know this means that they've been there a long time. This place isn't just devoid of life. It's a wasteland. But this is where Ezekiel was in Ezekiel 37 when the Spirit of God took him to a valley filled with dry bones and spoke to him. And about the scene that lay before him, God asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these dry bones live?" Let me say it again. God asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these dry bones live?" And Ezekiel answered, "Oh, Lord, you know." And in these few words, I can see the measure of Ezekiel's faith in God. In the natural, it didn't look like any life could be blooming in the graveyards of bones. But Ezekiel knew enough about God to be able to say, "You know, Lord, you know what is possible. But what happens next? Oh, my God, this pumps me up." This is our God. God told Ezekiel, prophesy to those bones and say to them, "Oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus say the Lord, go to these bones and behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord." So Ezekiel prophesied to the piles of dry bones, and the valley was filled with a loud shaking noise, the noise of the bones crawling across the earth to meet their match. Can you hear it? Can you hear the rattles of the bones and feel the rush of the movement that as they move to come back together, bone to bone, matching up and snapping into place as Ezekiel watched all of the things begin to grow among the bones and flesh filled around them and spread out over them. Skin crawled over the flesh, melted together to create complete bodies, fully formed bodies, lay before Ezekiel. Now, they were bodies without the breath of life in them yet. And then God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind that it might breathe upon the slain, that they may live. So Ezekiel prophesied as God commanded him. Breath came into the human forms, and they stood up before Ezekiel and became fully alive. This once slain army literally rose up from the ashes and came back to life. And the Bible says they were exceeding great army for the Lord. You see, sometimes learning that the most revelation and real life changes come from meditating on some of these verses and asking God to allow them to come alive in my heart. Asking God to take this word and let it come alive in my heart. Asking God, what does God want me to know from it? You see, when the word of God is made into flesh, when the word of God comes alive and it's dynamic like most passages, I'm sure there's a lot of different truths to glean from it, but these are some things that I took away from reading the first part of Ezekiel 37. prophesying and speaking God's word over a person or a situation. In the King James Easy Read Version, prophesy means to preach, to speak. Ezekiel spoke the word of God over those dead, dry bones and literally called them back to life. We have so much more of God's word than we even know. Even in them, probably than Ezekiel did. You may be thinking, but God spoke directly to Ezekiel. Nothing compares to having God speak directly to you, to which I would say there was a time when I would have agreed with that. But Jesus said the Holy Spirit is even better than having Jesus himself with us. You see, I come to tell you there's something that resides in you. Closer to you than your skin every single moment, every single minute, and every single day. That's constantly vying for your attention, waiting to help us, warn us, speak to us, comfort us, teach us, and lead us. But most of the time we are too busy because we're so inundated with these phones, these computers, and all the stuff that gets us in life. Isn't it interesting that God didn't speak to those dry bones, but God spoke through Ezekiel? God didn't go to the dry bones. God went to Ezekiel and spoke through Ezekiel. He told Ezekiel to speak to the bones. We have whole passages from God telling us God's will for our life is abundant life. Telling us to speak to our situation, telling us to take authority over death and destruction, telling us that God is the one who made us where there was no way. And with God, everything is possible. And with God who brings dead things back to life and God who redeems what was stolen, we have words from God we can choose to act on too. You see, many of us have areas right now in our lives that's filled with dry bones. And we can speak to those dry bones in our lives, our bodies, symptoms, emotions, about the goodness and promises of God. We call them back to life and step into the future that God has planned for us all along. You see, God wants to do a new thing in us today. Remember, you're not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, the past does not have to be the future. This is a lie. Every one of us will probably have to comfort at one time or another, but God wants to do a new thing in us. God wants to redeem what has been lost. We get to agree with this morning. God's yes and our amen to it for the glory of God. God isn't glorified in poverty and destruction. God is glorified when we resist the enemies of our own mind, when we choose to stand in the promise that God's word is true. When we get to stand in the promise, we get to call dead things back to life. You see, body, I got good news for you. I call forth a healthy and whole body. I command you to line up with your original design and be healthy and whole. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and according to Isaiah 54, no weapon. I want to say to you, body, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You are the righteousness of God in the Christ. Right now, you are the temple of the living God. And anything that has been broken over you, Christ will be glorified in this body. I got good news for you. I was meant to be prosperous. I was meant to be prosperous. I was born in inheritance. And I command you to line up with the original design of my prosperous life. You see, I was born in an inheritance. And then Isaiah says there's no weapon that will form against me. No weapon that will ever form against me will ever prosper. So today when I look in anything other than prosperity, I know that's a lie. Because I am the abundance of all that God is. I am more than enough. thing that it reveals itself over me that is not prosperity, I know that's not the truth. I can speak to it this morning. See, I get to visualize myself turning to the part of my life that's giving me symptoms, whether it's my body that's giving me symptoms, whether my money is out of alignment, my love life, my children, whatever it is, I get to see it the way God sees it. And I get to say out loud, did you hear that? Did you see that? And so this situation, I get to speak to it. You nothing compared to my God that lives in me, as me, all around. And I know you already is released from my life. You are a lion. The gift, healing is a gift. When we recognize the presence of Christ in us, that's an atonement, it's a gift. We need to grab hold the promises that we've been given. Something tremendous happens when we know the difference between when we speak life into a situation and when we really honor the living power of the loving presence that lives in us and as us. This doesn't mean you got to go to church every Sunday. It doesn't mean nothing. You ain't even got to read the Bible. All you got to do is know how to use the words that you've been given, the power you've been given. In the throat, there's power when we speak over a situation. See, the gift has already been given. Our battles is to stand in what is already ours. And while it may look different from person to person, we do have to speak to our situations and what we've been given. My challenge to you today is to start speak to those dry bones this morning. My challenge to you is to start to speak to those dry bones. And you know what they are, about the goodness of God. You see, we got to stop going to God crying and talking about our problems and going to our situations and telling how big our God is today. Speak to those dry bones about the goodness of God and command those dead places to come back to life. And you can heal any area of your life. Speak to those dry bones. Speak to your marriage this morning. Speak to your spouse this morning. Speak over your children this morning. Speak over your finances. Speak about your body. Whatever's going on, speak life. Speak to those dry bones and let them come alive. I want you to choose life today. I want you to take authority over your life today. I want you to know that you have power to speak to a situation. As we call out every dry bone this morning, as we speak to every dead situation this morning, I want you to speak life to your soul, your spirit, your marriage, your business, your children. God has given us an inheritance of many nations. And in the presence of the God that lives in us, whom we believe in, that lives in us, who gave life, we can speak to our situations this morning. I come to tell you, somebody came because they needed to hear a word from God this morning. Somebody came because they needed to hear a word. Nobody can do it like God can. Speak to the situation. And that's my message today. God said, I come that you may have life, life abundantly. Speak to the situation this morning. Somebody came this morning, I know, because they needed to hear this word this morning. Somebody came because they needed to hear that, be reminded that you can speak to a situation this morning. So if you have any questions, any comments, any thoughts, and you want to share this morning, you can star 6 if you're on teleconference line, and you can press 1 if you're on Blog Talk Radio. Speak to a situation this morning. Speak to your finances this morning. Speak over your body. Speak over your children. I tell you, when we shift our consciousness and speak to a situation, and when we not fear, let me tell you, I was on a plane yesterday coming to North Carolina. And you know what's interesting? I've never been on a plane with so much turbulence. I mean, so much turbulence that they darkened. And one of the bunks was so hard that everybody who was drinking spilled their water. They popped everywhere. Just went up. We went up into, you know how you bumps up and everybody's head hit the ceiling. It was just a big old, just a lot of turbulence. And the lady said, texting me, she said she was so afraid. She looked at me, she said, "You don't look afraid." I said, "I know God not done with me yet. I know nothing going to happen to this plane." I said, "And let me tell you something about God's favor. God's child is on this plane right here. And let me tell you, because of my favor, this plane ain't going down because I ain't through. God ain't through with me yet. I got some more to do on this planet. So I know whatever's going on, it's just going to do what it do. But ain't nothing going to happen to this plane." And she took my hand. She said, "I want the faith that you got." I said, "You just got to know. Your favor is here. I'm right here." That's the good thing about favor. You know, when the favor of God is on somebody, even their favor become your favor. And I knew that no matter what was happening on that plane, that it wasn't my time yet. So I knew now. So I just said in my, you know, it's so good when nobody get to sit next to you, right? So she was sitting in the middle, and nobody sat on the end. So when the plane got ready to take off, she moved to the end. So I opened up the arm, and just when the plane started going into a turbulent situation, I just went into, I folded my legs in a meditation, and I just went into meditation because I didn't want to be a presence of the fear. You see, I didn't want to fear the situation because I knew God wasn't through with me yet. And so all I did is I went into the peace of God, and I just asked God to bring peace where there's no peace. I asked God to send, to dispatch his legion of angels upon that plane and protect it right then. I asked God to send God's legion of angels around that plane and keep it, and to give me the stillness to know. And I just spoke life into the plane, and I asked God to come into the plane, into the hearts of the people. No, I wasn't loud about it. I just sat in my own space and prayed over the whole plane. It was dark, and I actually enjoyed the dark plane. I just sat there in my meditation and said, "God, do your will here. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring peace where there's no peace." That lady kept her hands on my leg the whole time. She said it was something about my peace that kept her peace, but I'm telling you, you can speak to a situation. I'm here to tell you, you can speak to a situation. And you can call it out this morning. Speak to those dry bones. And to those dry bones, shake, rattle, and roll this morning. That's what I want to remind you. You got the power to make a dry bone shake, rattle, and roll. All right. That's my message this morning. I have the power to speak to a situation. I have the power to speak to the situation, family. I want you to know, if you got a child, you got a husband, you got a wife, you got a sickness, you got an illness, whatever it is, I want you to speak into those bones, shake, rattle, and roll. Ezekiel didn't have to prophesy once, but Ezekiel had to prophesy twice. Ezekiel had to go and speak to those bones and then speak to those bones again until they got up and meshed back together. Sometimes we got to speak to that thing more than one time. Because sometimes we got to speak to it until our faith aligns with the truth that we are powerful beings. Sometimes we got to speak to a situation into our faith, into our belief system. I don't know. Did you hear? And I've heard that thing many times what T.D. Jakes said this morning, but I never thought about belief is the point of entry into our faith. I thought that was powerful. Now, I was like, wow, I wanted to play it again because I wanted to hear exactly how he said it. But I said, now the people are like, girl, don't play that again. But he said belief is the point of entry of our faith. Belief, family, just believe it is the point of entry. Now, you best believe when I get off the phone, I'm going to re-listen so I can get the right words, and I'm going to post it on the Love Journey. But I want you to know today, you got the power to speak. Power to speak this day. And I'm so grateful. I could tell you stories and stories, stories and every story. I remember it was snow in Chicago all the way up to, you know, your above your knee. And so I'm about 5, you know, I'm about 5'10", y'all. No. And we were getting ready to take my daughter. My middle daughter had a dance competition. And it's like 4 o'clock in the morning because we got to go about an hour and out, 2 hours out to where she has her dance competition. I think it was somewhere in Aurora, I think. I'm not even sure where it was now. But I know it was a long way out, and we was up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And our car was parked in the garage behind our building. And at that time, I was driving a small car. It was the Lexus SC400. And if you know that car, it was a small car back then. It's a little, they don't even make it anymore. But when they redesigned it, it's a little bit bigger. But this one was a small one. And you can imagine that the snow where it was at. So Brenton, and now, and we, you know, because the alley, they don't shove out the alleys, or, you know, the snow trucks don't really go down the alley. So Brenton is pulling the car out, trying to push it down the alley. And because, you know, it's trying to be pushed down the alley, the battery dies out. And so we stuck in the middle of the alley. And so we halfway out the alley and halfway to our house, and we had to decide which way we're going to go because the snow is so high, if we're going to go back home or what. And so I just closed my eyes, and I started speaking life and praying over the situation. Now, what was interesting about it is it's dark outside, and nobody is out, and nobody can see us because we're in an alley. And if you live in Chicago, you know what I mean. So nobody can see us. And so I had my eyes closed, and Brenton looked over and said, here come your angel running up the alley. A man was running up the alley with a battery charger to charge the battery, and he helped charge the battery, and then he helped Brenton push us out the car. And once we get out of the alley, then the streets are been paid, you know, the snow trucks have come past. So now, you know, we can get, so all we needed was just to be able to get out the alley. And I tell you, now, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's dark. It's dark at 4 o'clock in the morning in Chicago in the wintertime. And the car is white, and the car is halfway, the snow is halfway up the body of the car. You know it wasn't nothing but God that sent that angel that come and push us out and bring and was able to see us. So I said, well, Brent, how did he see us? He said he was just pulling in to coming home from work, and he saw us. I said, look at God. I never seen that man again. I don't even know where that man came from or who he was. I ain't never seen that man in a day in our life, and still ain't seen him to this day. And we lived there over 20-something years. Ain't never seen him but that one time. Brent, did you get his name? No. Brent, did you see out where he lived? I wanted to give him a thank you card or something. No, Brent didn't get nothing. Did the man really exist? I still say that to my day, to this day. Did God send an angel in real form, or did God send an angel just to come and help us, and then that man didn't exist? I'm telling you, that's how quick he came and how quick he left. I ain't see him go, and I ain't even see where he came from. It's just like he poofed out the air. I still sometimes wonder, Did God send an angel from heaven to come push us out? Or was that a physical man who really exists today? But I'm telling you, you can speak to a situation. I could just keep on telling. I can sit here all day and tell you about the goodness of God and how many times a situation been turned in the midst of the situation just by going in and praying and asking and speaking. And not see, this is what I pray that I hope that I can give you today. Even with the political climate, I hear people still talking about the political climate and what, you know, this particular guy who's in the House, White House, doing. You know, I close my eyes and I see with the spiritual climate. See, no matter what the physical climate looks like, no matter what the political climate looks like, I know there's a spiritual climate that's happening even when we can't see it. But see, what I want us to discern today, I want us to discern how to have spiritual eyes and see with the spiritual vision of 2020 vision. I call it the spiritual 2020 vision so that you can see the spiritual climate. There's a law in physics that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. We may see the physical action of something, but we don't understand that for every action, and this is the law of physics in the universe, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So every time something physically is happening, trust and believe there's a spiritual reaction to all this that's happening on the physical plane. And just because we haven't taught our eyes to see from a spiritual perspective doesn't mean that it ain't happening. And I want you to do that even with your life. See, when there's a physical action going on, there's a spiritual action that's happening too. So when we're down to nothing, even when we can't see it, there's an equal and opposite reaction happening in the spiritual world. Yeah, this is Janine's law of economics, and I call it, when my economics is in the physical, I may not be able to see it, but I know spiritually I'm being blessed. Promise you. I woke up one morning first time I got laid off, and I was still learning how to have more faith in the process that God is the source of my unlimited supply. And I got to speaking over my finances because this day I needed to pay a particular bill or else it was going to go up tremendously. It was the IRS bill that I had just got straight, and you had to pay it on time or else you had to see everything that you agreed upon go back. So now, you know, I told you that I had negotiated a offer and compromise with the IRS. I had owed $50,000. They knocked it down, and all I had to pay was that $2,500. But they gave me 4 equal payments. But now I'm laid off and can't get any unemployment. And all I could think was, if this does not get paid, I don't want to go back to that old situation. And I was in fear, but God said, why are you fear? I thought you say every morning that God is the source of my unlimited supply. So I got up and I started speaking. I said, no, I can't see with these physical eyes. I got to start learning how to see with my spiritual eyes. I have to learn how to put in my spiritual 2020 vision and begin to see in the spiritual. And I had to ask God to teach me how to see like you see, God. You see, teach me how to see above what it is that's happening, that I know that there is, that you said in your word, you will never leave nor forsake me. You said in your word that you will never leave nor forsake me. You said in the Hindi's Bible that I was made in abundance, and in abundance I shall remain. In every spiritual text, there's different words that God had promised. Allah had promised, no matter how we see this presence, this energy that we call, some of us call it God, and I respect anybody who call it whatever they call it, but I tell you, did Jehovah Jireh, whatever we call the presence that is in us, as is all around us, will never leave nor forsake us. But our job is to get into alignment. So I had to get into alignment. desperating and a little fear. I'm not going to lie. I was getting up on this call every morning. God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now. But I was not operating in the belief energetically. Even though I was saying it and even though I was thinking it, there was still some doubt inside my body that was concerned about how I was going to pay. And so I asked God to remove any doubt that was inside of me. I wanted every cell in my body to come in alignment with the truth. I wanted every living system in my body to come in alignment with the truth. I wanted every being, every part of my being, my emotional being, my spiritual being, my physical being, my emotional being to get in alignment. And sometimes we forget about that emotional process because, see, we haven't been taught enough about the heart. The heart is 5,000 more times magnetic than your mind. And it's from the mouth of the heart. It's from the heart that we really do speak. Let me tell you the story. I was watching Monique and Steve speak, and Steve said something really powerful. Monique said, well, Steve was trying to tell Monique that what she was saying and what she was doing wasn't coming from a loving space. She said, no, I love the people that she was talking about. And Steve said, if you had love in your heart from the people, then love would sound like love. And I thought that was powerful. Even though the words you were saying made that you love them, but it didn't sound like love. It didn't feel like love. And I want you to really get what I'm saying here. How many times have we said loving words out of our mouth, but they didn't sound or feel like love? Or how many times have we heard somebody speak the actual loving words, but it didn't feel or sound like love? Even though the words were loving words, it didn't feel or sound like love. Steve said if it was love, it would sound like love. He said, if you had love in your heart, then it would sound like love. That thing right there was a word for me. It just was in alignment with what I had learned. So many times we speak things. So many times we say things. So many times we think a thing. But it's not in our heart. And the heart trumps everything we say, and the heart trumps everything we think, because the heart is 5,000 times more magnetic than anything in the body. It's the first fully formed organ in the body when you're born. It's the when you are in your mother's womb, the first fully organ is the heart, not the brain, the heart organ that is first fully formated in the body. In the mother's womb is the heart. And I want you to think about it. As we speak from the Bible, we hear as a man thinking, we think, and people stop right there. As a man thinking, I'm going to tell you for a long time, as a man thinking, in his heart, so shall it be. It didn't say as you think in your mind. And so many people think that it's about what we think, and it is about what we think, and it is about what we speak, but the heart is what actually manifests. We don't manifest from our thoughts. We don't manifest from our words. We actually manifest from the heart. It's what we think, what we say, and what we feel equals manifestation. Now, I know I'm going on a whole other subject, but I want you to understand that when you speak, I am rich, and you say I am rich and you still feel poor, you still going to magnetize poverty. That's why I want you to really clean up your heart. Now, I want you to really think about this, and then I'm going to let you go. I promise I'm going to let you go. I feel like, you know, when we be in a sanctified church. Well, I grew up in a sanctified church, and they be like, you know, I'm going to let you go. I just want to say this one thing. And you'll be an hour late and they talk about they're going to let you go. But sometimes it feels so good about what you're saying that you don't even realize the time. But I promise I won't keep you this long this morning. I'm almost done. But I just want you to really take this with you this morning. When you really let go of what's in your heart, and really allow the presence of your heart to manifest what you feel, think, and what I'm telling you, something powerful happens. The heart is so powerful. The heart is one of the most powerful presence in the body. Why? Because that's when you can feel. Something happens when you feel it. When you can feel it in your body, you know you're going to manifest. That's why when you go buy a car and they want you to sit in the car, because they want you to feel yourself in the car. It's about the way you feel when you're in the car. When you go get a fur coat, they want you to try on the fur coat because it's about the way you feel when the coat on you. It's about that feeling. I remember the first time my spiritual advisor, she said to me, money is energy. She said it's currency. And in order for currency to flow, it needs a conduit to manifest into material form. She said, just as electricity needs a conduit to transmit light, energy needs a conduit to transmit money into the bank account. Now, this is the part I want you to hear. She said the conduit is our heart. She said money can never flow into a congested heart. I want you to think about that. Let's change that into healing for the body, love, whatever it is we want. Love is an energy. Healing is an energy. And in order for the healing to flow, it needs a conduit to manifest into material form. Just like electricity needs a conduit to transmit light, energy needs a conduit to transmit money. So energy needs a conduit to transmit healing into your body. Energy needs a conduit to transfer love into your body. And that conduit is in the heart. Money, healing, love, nothing can flow into a congested heart. Nothing. So as we speak to those empty places and those dry places, I want you to speak to your heart, because most of us are not manifesting and not living the life we want. And let me tell you, no matter how much you think you have forgiven a situation or let go of a situation, let me tell you how powerful when we take it, forgiveness to another level and start to release the residue. Now let me tell you, it was interesting how I was doing my forgiveness work and how God showed me, even though I had forgiven the person and maybe even the situation, but there was still residue of it left in the cells of my body because of my reaction. So say if I was in a relationship with somebody and he messed around on me, blah, 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 and he cheated, blah, 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 and I get in a new relationship with somebody. Now, I forgave the guy for doing what he did. I speak to the guy, I'm nice or whatever. Now I'm in a new relationship, but this guy may do something similar, but he's not messing around. But because of my reaction from the similar situation that happened, maybe he stayed out and didn't answer his phone, and he was just with his boys. He wasn't messing around. But my reaction, because of the distrust that I still have left in the residue of my body, I had to release the residue, or being molested as a child. I didn't know that I still, even though I had forgave and healed, I thought I had healed the situation, but I could still see the residue in my body when something happened or how I reacted to a situation. And I had to let go of the reactions or the things that was left in my body, you know, or even like poverty. Poverty lives in the body. So you're working to get your money, and you're working on your relationship with money. And maybe a seemingly appearance of no money showed up, and you could feel the stress in your body. That's a poverty reaction. So I had to go learn. So when I couldn't get the stress out of my body, I would go get a massage, because my muscles need to be retrained so they can know that we were always prosperous and that nothing, even the seeming appearances of not having, could ever stop us from the flow, of being in the flow. And so I would massage it. When somebody was, I would go get a massage or go get reflexology. And in that, while they were massaging it, the muscles and the stress and the tension, I would work on the muscles to remind my muscles and speak to the cells in my body that we were prosperous and that nothing but God's source of unlimited supply shall come to us. There was times when I was working on bringing in a financial abundance because I needed a financial blessing, and I could feel the tension in my body because my body remembered how to react like that in poverty or lack or struggle. So I had to retrain my muscles. And so I went and got a massage, and I spoke life in my body the whole time they were massaging it. And I spoke prosperity and more than enough over it. I got out of the massage. I got a call. Somebody said, Janine, I was thinking about you. Come pick this check up. I want to give you a blessing. I just was thinking about the goodness of your blessings in my life, and I just wanted to bless you. Those are my stories. I said I was going to let you go. I'm about to let you go for real now. I want you to go and have a good day and know that you have the power to speak to a situation this morning. You have the power to speak to your situation this morning. And so whatever's happening in your life, no matter where the challenge may be, whether it's in your finances, your love life, your home, your finances, your career, wherever you are right now, know that you have the power to speak to it. And so as we leave this morning, I want you to know you have the power to change the situation. So I'm going to play this. Doubt your doubts before you doubt God, as I remind you that you are a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, family, to dream and to live your God-sized dream. You have the power. You have the power. And in the words of Dr. Johnny Coleman, it only works if you work it. It only works if you work it. You know, sometimes I think about Dr. Johnny Coleman, and I think about how it had been. I told you I've been working from my phone this morning because I forgot my computer at home. But sometimes I think about how being a pioneer in new thought, you know, a time when new thought was not of God to many people, and especially being a woman, and especially being an African-American woman, I think about all the things she overcame to always remind us to be able to get the word to us that we had the power. The power wasn't in a book. The power wasn't in a church. The power wasn't in anything outside of us, but she reminded us that the power was always in us and that we had the power. And so today, as we take back the authority, as we take back the power and use our one of our tools that we've been given, the vibration of words, to speak to them, I want to remind you, don't doubt this morning. The power is in you. And I want to remind you that it only works if you work it.
I remember my little niece ran up to me and told me, "We learned about Jesus today." And I could tell by her smile she was so excited to learn about this man that she did not quite know yet, but she knew without a doubt for it to be true because, after all, Mommy said so. And that was the first time in my life that I looked into the eyes of a child and envied them, because she had no idea of what it feels like to doubt. What it feels like to have your entire belief system overload with skepticism, to never know the day that you would finally be able to live beyond the shadow of a doubt. I've lived in its darkness for so long, it It seems like I have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and my faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of my palms. God, every night I lay my head down to sleep, the city of my mind is attacked by a legion of questions threatening the living rooms of my sanity and holding them hostage. Can you help me? Last year, my grandmother laid in a hospital bed like a bus stop waiting for God to come pick her up. I had never seen such pain and such confidence living in the same eyes when she told me, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know who I belong to. And I was so happy for her. And something inside of me wished that somehow before she passed away, she could pass down her confidence in God to me like an old family picture. I remember sitting in the back row of a cold sanctuary, crying, because I desperately wanted what the preacher was saying to be true, but my doubts were preaching a sermon of their own, and the streams of my tears turned into oceans of frustration. I remember sitting in a college classroom, and the only thing being tested is my faith in God. The only thing passing is my hope. Me, in a backpack full of fear, and nowhere to go, no one to help me unpack. I sleep, but I never rest. These lines around my eyes are not wrinkles, they are maps. I show you the winding roads that lead to my pain. I'm tired. And I'm longing for the day that I can place my fingers in his nail-pierced hands, because honestly, I've considered quitting, but where will I go? Back? There's no home for the living in the land of the dead, so I keep pressing forward. Today I have faith, but I can't make any promises about tomorrow. I'm surprised I've held on this long. God, just make me feel like I'm not crazy. God, let me know that I'm not just making friends with these walls. When I pray, I'm not questioning you. I just got questions. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me. My child, when it seems like you have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and your faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of your palms, I told you, faith the size of mustard seeds can rearrange whole landscapes and turn mountains into open highways. Faith comes by my word, so maybe you've cuffed your ears. My child, don't be childish. But consider the child whose faith has not quite learned the definition of impossible. Have your questions. I'm not telling you to have a blind faith. I'm telling you to consider the blind men who had faith and believed my words before they were even able to see me. Consider the birds that eat from my hand and do not fall from the sky without my consent. So how much more will I love the ones that I died for? Before you doubt me, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts, and you will see they are just as empty as the tomb that I walked from. Truth is, you know I'm here. You know my truth, and you're scared. Scared of what that means. Scared of what that should cost you. That one day they will all laugh you right out of their classrooms and scorn you out of their courtrooms. But my love serves as an eviction notice to anxiety. When they cast stones, my love casts out fear. I am the author and finisher of your faith. I've never started a work that I will not finish. I am the one.
I am the one who will give you courage to stare death in the face and say, how dare you try to scare me? I know who I belong to. And when it feels like you are drowning, when it feels like you are drowning in a sea of your questions, just know I'm there. I'm there. Like when I drowned in the Red Sea of my blood for you, and these hands that took holes will hold you. And when I told you that I would love you forever, I meant it. Don't you see these rings in my hands? See, we are married. For better or for worse, through sickness and in health, through faith and through questions, till death brings us closer, you are mine. You are mine, and I am yours, I promise.